My name's Bob, and I'm glad you guys are here tonight. Before we can get all wound up, I want to give a big shout out to Jimmy Hoare in front. And all those folks listening in tonight on the Disney Nerd Podcast.
The spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome back to the Disney Nerds Podcast. I'm Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. This is show number 214, Holidays at Walt Disney World. We all love Walt Disney World, and the holidays is a great time to visit, and this is the 12 reasons why you should visit in 2017. With me to run down the list tonight, straight from Hollywood, Johnny Hollywood, what is up?
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
From the live show, Lisa, what's happening?
Hey, Sam, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, thank you. And of course, the Maz. Edward, what's up?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
It is going great, and thanks, everyone, for visiting. So you guys have all encountered and visited Walt Disney World during the holidays, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I love the fact that things are changing. There's new things happening, whether it's the evolution of Hollywood Studios or it's things happening at Disney Springs or Epcot has some new stuff going on. It's cool that there's new things, and Disney provided to us a list of the 12 must-dos during the Christmas or the holiday season at Walt Disney World. And what a great idea to sort of go down there, see if we've experienced those, and then sort of elaborate on those experiences. What do you guys think?
Sounds great.
Let's do it.
All right. So in no particular order, and by the way, for those of you listening, if you head over to the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com, on our blog, you're going to find the 2017 Walt Disney World must-do list. Take a look at that, comment on it. And in fact, we're going to follow up and get some input from you guys on the live show this next Tuesday night. Lisa's going to talk about that a bit more.
You bet, yeah.
So our list starts in no particular order. This is Disney's list. And by the way, I might add to it once we get to the end. Surprise, surprise. Number one, Sunset Seasons Greetings at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Now, you have to start any studios conversation with Johnny Hollywood. So, Johnny, what is going on at studios, my man?
It feels like the old studios that Sam knows from Star Wars Weekends. It has a lot more Christmas decorations, which I know we will get into, but the Sunset Seasons Greetings is the number one attraction for Christmas time right now.
So we, as the Disney nerds, during our latest meets, got to experience a little bit of this, and in fact, if you went to the blog, you may find a video of parts of Sunset Seasons Greetings and the Tower of Terror and the illuminations that are happening there. Ed, did you get to experience that live?
Yeah, I did, actually. John and I had the opportunity to get kicked out of Sunset Boulevard area, actually.
Come on, Matt. There are others on this show, some not on tonight, that have been kicked out of studios.
But it was actually an odd night because they were closing early, and they were really kind of hustling us out of the park, it seemed like.
That's the first time I've had cast members actually say we have closed this section of the park before.
Oh, sure. And as we were walking past Sunset Boulevard, we saw that it was kind of closed off, and they had a lot of the plainclothes cast members over there, which you know something's up. And then we could see some of the animations on the Tower of Terror. Nothing as elaborate as what we saw afterwards, what you guys were able to see, but what we saw was kind of like the start of it.
I think it's absolutely amazing. Lisa, did you see it live?
I did not get a chance to see it live. However, I was rushed out of a park on my last trip, so I did have that experience. And all because they wanted to decorate for the holidays, so I was right there with you on that.
That's right. We talked about that before. You were at the last Halloween party, and they were in the process of shooing you out of Magic Kingdom so they could put up some Christmas decorations.
That's correct.
Or maybe not put up Christmas, but get rid of Halloween is what they did.
Right, absolutely.
So back to this Sunset Seasons greetings. Disney character moments projected onto the Tower of Terror, while the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror is still in operation, by the way. They're not closing the attraction. You can still ride that. There are four primary segments. A Mickey and Minnie reminiscing about old-time Christmas. Toy Story characters are trying to decide what new toys are under the Christmas tree, which is sort of interesting. Mm-hmm. The Swedish chef babbles on about some gingerbread houses and turns the whole thing into a gingerbread house. And Olaf does some interesting things with Frozen and freezes the castle with Anna and Elsa.
Did you see Morgan's video of this? It was pretty cool. And what's excellent about it is they have these TV screens set up down the street. So as they go into the next section, like the Toy Story part of it, you'll see different animations on the screens going down Sunset Boulevard all the way up leading up to the tower. Really cool animations. Great sound, too.
So those screens, those are billboards through the day, right?
Correct. One over at the Sunset Market advertises the market during the day, and then the one by Fantasmic obviously promotes Fantasmic during the day.
Oh, I'm even more impressed. Wow, that's really cool. You can't even tell. That's excellent.
That is pretty cool. And now these, and John, you've seen this before, about what time does this thing start?
Around 6 o'clock at evening.
So dusk. So about the same time the Osborne Lights used to start. When it gets dark enough that you can project some things, that's when this thing's going to start.
This ongoing shows?
Absolutely. It goes from dusk until the park closes. Actually, right now, Fantasmic's at 8:30. This runs until around 8:50.
Okay, how about this? Do they have a turn, a starting up ceremony or like a turning on ceremony of the beginning of the night?
No, it just starts going.
Gotcha.
So, John, let me ask you this. If you arrive in the middle of this and it happens to be, you know, the Bumpets that are up there, does it loop back and go through all four of these? Is there an order you want to watch them in, or is it just any time, go and take a look?
Anytime you want to go, you can start with the Muppets, and it'll go back to the Muppets in 15 minutes. It's a 15-minute show. It has a segment like Toy Story, and then it has a Christmas song. As a little brief intermission with snow coming off the buildings and lights.
Oh,
so snow machines, yeah.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Now, I got to wonder what it's like to be on the tower while it's going on.
Yeah, I was going to ask that question exactly. What is it like to be on Tower of Terror while this is being projected on it?
It's pretty awesome. You have a lot more lights in your face than usual. But a lot of people.
Sure.
Well, I was wondering if you noticed it. Now, can you tell what's going on around you, like from looking down Sunset Boulevard, or is it really just lights?
It's just lights, and you have a lot of people taking cameras. So you see a lot of camera-like flash bulbs.
Oh, those useless flashes that really doesn't help anything more
yeah,
than
that
20
doesn't.
Feet away.
It messes up projections, by the way. It doesn't help. It does the opposite of help.
But you cannot tell what scene is on the castle while you ride it.
Okay.
On the tower. Cool.
Tower. So that you said that starts at 6. And I wanted to cover a couple of other things here that aren't on this list, if I can, very quickly at Studios. Unless, let me look down our list really quickly. Is Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam on this list? It is not on the list. So there's something else that I want to talk about because, John, you and I talked before that it was difficult to be able to catch Fantasmic and the Star Wars Galactic fireworks at the same time. You sort of had to pick one or the other. But now they've made some changes in the timing with Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, right?
Absolutely. And starting next week, Star Wars Galactic Nights comes back as well.
Just in time for Last Jedi, of course.
Yeah, so you have the Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam at 8, and then the Fantasmic at 8:30. So everyone lines up, everyone can see Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, which is a 10-minute show, and then everyone has an opportunity to go to Fantasmic or to relax and watch the Sunset Seasons on Hollywood Boulevard.
Sure, and then any idea when the Star Wars fireworks will be? Have you seen that?
6:15.
So that's earlier.
Correct.
So you have the ability to
and that
check
will go
out.
Into the 31st, and then the 31st of December will be Jingle Bell at 9 o'clock, and then who wouldn't want to ring in the new year having Star Wars and Galactic Spectacular at midnight?
Yeah.
Wow.
That is kind of cool. But now here's what I love about what you're saying there, John. If you look at it, you can do the Star Wars fireworks for these couple of week period if you're going down. 6:15, you do the Star Wars fireworks. Then you sort of hang out on the main Sunset Boulevard, and you watch the projection show, which is also a light show up and down the boulevard. Watch that for a little while. Go back, check out Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, with more bam, by the way. What's more bam mean, John?
It means the finale. It's the same finale that Star Wars Weekends had. So it's this little, I would call it bullet fireworks. They go off and sounds like a bullet from a gun. And they have them going off the Chinese Theater, the Hyperion Theater, and then Stage Sound 3 that has the Mermaid and Playhouse Disney's building.
And so this is the boom that you can feel in your chest, right, if I remember right?
Oh, absolutely. So it's you can definitely feel and hear more bam in this one compared to last year.
So after that, then, go back down Sunset Boulevard and then go watch Fantasmic if you want. And by the way, you can do all of those things, and we didn't even talk about Echo Lake and the new stuff that they did over there for the holidays.
Echo Lake is what feels like old studios, and everyone knows that I'm a studios freak, I guess would be the right word. And that
Johnny
feels Hollywood. Absolutely. That feels like 2015 prior Hollywood studios. Gertie is doing the dinosaur, is doing the decorations for the Christmas tree, which Sam has confirmed that it was the Christmas tree from last year was outside. Inside.
Yeah, it was. I got that from Disney. There's no Christmas tree outside of Hollywood Studios. Now it's in the middle of Echo Lake with decorations around it that blend in perfectly and an absolutely outstanding photo op. And it's cool to see them doing something new. And all of this said, there's a reason now for the holidays in 2017 to head to studios in the evening to see what's going on. It's pretty cool.
I'll tell you that. The Gertie decorations are – how they've decorated Gertie is awesome. Not only just with the Santa hat on, which that's what I was told and we were able to see firsthand, but with the ornament hanging out of her mouth, I thought was fascinating. That's a very large red ball hanging out of her mouth.
It is. And it fits perfect. And the way that it was described to us when we did the media event for the Baseline Tap House – and we talked to some people, and there's videos of this, by the way, on the YouTube channel, Disney Nerds. It's supposed to be the Christmas tree landed in the middle of the lake, and the decorations are floating, and they're sort of all over the place. And it feels like that. It's kind of cool.
Absolutely.
One last studios thing I want to mention, and we're still on number one, by the way. There is, if you're an annual pass holder, and John, tell me a little more about this. If you're an annual pass holder, they now have an exclusive free annual pass holder magnet.
Absolutely. It looks like the same one as what you get in the mail when you renew your pass holders, but it's blue and it has candlelight or Christmas lights around Mickey, and it says pass holders. And you can pick it up at Mickey's of Hollywood, the Five and Dime store, and the Cover Story store, which is connected to Five and Dime. All you need is your passholder ID and a photo ID.
That's cool. I love those little things.
Oh, it's awesome. Now, I tell you what, guys, if you want to keep up to date on Disney Hollywood Studios news, because there's so much going on over there, you got to check out the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com blog. Go over there, check it out. Every Tuesday, we have Johnny Hollywood reporting from Hollywood Studios. He's been giving us some great, great updates about everything that's been going on at the parks, and there's just so much every week that it's just really, really fun to check it out.
It changes every week. Ed, you just took the words right out of my mouth. I look forward to that post every Tuesday.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, little things, John, that you're catching that are outstanding, like, hey, look, there's a Christmas tree on the top of the new Star Wars land kind of just hanging out up there.
That's right.
That was so cool.
I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of fun to see new things, especially like Sam said, the minor details. And before you know it, it'll be 2019, and we'll have Galaxy Edge open. It'll
one thing at a time, John. Toy Story next. We got that coming.
Well, what's so cool is, though, by checking in every Tuesday, we're going to be able to see the natural progression of how everything is going. And hopefully we'll be up there at opening day. It's going to be awesome.
That will be awesome. Studios, the place to be, maybe, for 2017. And when I sit back and look at this a little bit, I think they really needed somewhere to spend the evening if you're not going to a Christmas party, which we're going to talk about later, or at Magic Kingdom. This is a perfect spot now.
Absolutely. And one more quick holiday thing that they did that we haven't mentioned is Frozen has a Christmas finale. So, and Olaf is involved with the show as well now, which is a new touch. So it's a fun little show to get into the holiday spirit as well.
When you say Frozen, you're referring to the Frozen sing-along that's in the Hyperion Theater, correct?
Yes, sir. And that runs until 6:30 is the last show.
Got it.
That's cool. Great.
So I still believe Studios is a half-day park, but it moved from doing the morning, get out of there by the afternoon, to doing an afternoon-evening park.
Okay, there you go. All right, moving on from Studios, let's go to number two on the list. The new Holiday Kitchens at the Epcot International Festival of the Holidays.
Boy, that kind of sounds really familiar, doesn't it?
It sure does.
What do you think that is?
Well, if I changed a couple of words, I would get Epcot International Food and Wine Festival of whatever.
Which is fine, you know. Put a little extra, like, you know, cranberries on it or some, like, you know, allspice, and we have holiday food.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I will say before we get into this, this is a new name for Epcot, by the way. This was Holidays Around the World last year, and they changed it this year to Festival of the Holidays, which, by the way, matches Disney's California Adventure.
Oh.
Very interesting. Festival of the Holidays. And by the way, some of the merchandise is in both places.
Oh, I'm sure. That helps. But that's not a bad name. I don't mind that.
I don't mind it either. It's kind of cool. But I saw there were a couple of blogs. Christmas Around the World is over. No, it's not. They changed the name of it. But anyway, Ed.
Well, what's cool about this is it's going to run all the way to December 30th, and it goes from, I think, noon to 8 p.m. every day. So it's pretty cool to check out, and it's kind of nice seeing some of these, I guess, the kiosks that they have set up with the new names.
Which is exactly what they are. It's kiosks that they allowed to remain stayed up, and they changed the names.
Oh, sure.
Which is fine. I have no problem with it.
Oh, and I tell you what, I'm checking out the Disney site as far as some of these kitchens just to kind of give you a flavor of what it is. But after we're done recording, I'm going to go over to, I'm going to try to find out some of the prices on these things just to kind of see if it matches Food and Wine. But we have the American Holiday Table with such things as slow roasted turkey with stuffing, mashed potatoes, green beans, and cranberry sauce. Like, this almost sounds like it's a real meal.
I'm liking that.
Where is that?
Oh, you know what? It actually is. It's at the American Adventure Pavilion. So I guess they have this for the sit-down meal. So in addition to the hamburgers.
Steak. All right. Instead of, like, the steak. You're talking the counter service at American Adventure. See, now I was thinking more of the, what is
kiosk.
It? Kiosk. Yeah, the kiosk.
Oh, sure.
It's the barbecue.
I'm going down their list. And
yeah, let's
see.
Keep
one.
Going.
But as far as we keep going, because the Bavarian Holiday Kitchen is in Germany, and that definitely sounds like a little bit more of a kiosk thing.
Yeah.
And it's like a cheese plate, sauerbraten, red cabbage, spetzel, a little cheese fondue, holiday cake. Looks like a lot of dessert places, too. The Cookie Nook Holiday Kitchen.
The Cookie Nook.
at the Festive Center. So I'm thinking that's going to be inside.
Oh, yeah.
Which, and they have the big menu, and it's all warm apple fritter with cinnamon ice cream and warm caramel sauce type of desserts. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's all decadence, but it sounds great. And they have beverages because you can't have, like, ice cream without your beer flight or your wine flight.
yeah.
So they do have those, which is pretty cool. But they do have Florida Orange Grove sparkling cranberry wine, which sounds pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So moving on, a couple others just real quick. The Feast of the Three Kings, which is a shredded beef tamale, a roast pork with smashed yucca, pickled green bananas, and Three Kings bread. That almost sounds like, not Mexico, but definitely south of the border one, or Caribbean.
Sounds good.
They have a lot of good stuff.
It's the yucca. That's like Cuban.
Right, right. So there's probably about, I'd say, a dozen or more, and it's definitely worth checking out these menus, and I'm going to I'm going to keep on checking these out. It's pretty cool.
That is cool.
But definitely another reuse of those kiosks so they don't have to keep taking them down between things. Because soon after this, what's coming up? Is it Flower and Garden coming up this spring?
Well, and you have some of the arts.
Yeah,
oh, that's right. Even better. Because I was like, boy, that's a kind of a spread to get to the spring, but if we have the Festival of the Arts, you don't have to.
It fits in there nicely, doesn't it? So you can put things up for Food and Wine Festival in October, or actually in September, and not take them down until March or April. After
longer than that, May.
Yep, take them down.
May, yeah.
Because there's been times without a festival I've seen some of those kiosks open still.
Yep.
Especially with this festival, it's nice weather here, so it's... Locals really take advantage of being outside at Epcot and going to these local booths and not having... Yeah.
So when you say, for those of us in the north, when you say nice weather, you mean it's not 100 degrees is what you mean.
And
it's
zero humidity.
To walk around. Because so when it gets to 50...
Eating
right, when you guys are... When it gets to 50 and everybody puts their jackets on, that's when we're like, yes, this is perfect.
Right.
But it's anyway.
It's the only time of year you can tell a local from a traveler.
Because we'll be in the swimming pools and won't have coats on. But that's,
that's
a whole other story.
These new holiday kitchens, I will tell you, one of my – and I've only been to Walt Disney World for the holidays once. Working in retail puts a little challenge on that for me. But we were able to go down a couple years ago, and holidays around the world was one of our favorite things. And we ate something there that we still talk about to this day, and that was a sweet potato waffle – that had turkey and gravy and stuffing and mashed potatoes and green bean casserole inside.
Hello.
It was
Were they two smashed together or are they?
Folded up, much like the waffle sandwiches that you would get at Sleepy Hollow.
Gotcha. Nice.
But you got it at a kiosk. So my other question is, and I don't know whether or not we have the answer to this, is much like the Food and Wine Festival or even the Flower and Garden Festival, I wonder if they have, because I know that they did for our holidays around the world, do they have the booklets where you get stamped at each location once you try something holiday and holiday flavor, if you will?
I am looking at my book from last year. I can only imagine that, yes. Although they're the stickers in the book, not the stamps per se. But I have it in my hand from last year.
Oh, yes. I got to think they have it, yeah. They can't pass something like that up.
Mm-hmm.
So one other thing I wanted to add here that is new over at Epcot is Chip and Dale's Christmas Tree Spree. This is, much like other festivals, where you buy your map with the stickers and the kids look for the Christmas ornaments that Chip and Dale have hid around World Showcase so that they can then get their souvenir at the end. That's the first time they've done this for the holidays, and I love it.
Do you have to pay to do this?
Yes, this is $6.99, which is the same price as the Ratatouille Hide and Squeak, where you look for the ingredients.
Right.
And in the springtime, remember, it used to be the Easter egg thing, but now it's just an egg hunt that's the entire Flower and Garden Festival. And they also did, Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, a Figment one at the Festival of Arts last year. And I believe that they had a similar thing at the Festival of Arts. And Lisa, you were there. Were you able to do the Figment game?
Yes, we were. It was the same thing. You had to pay and then travel around and come back and with your completed booklet, but it didn't need to be completed. You probably could have just turned around and brought it back for your prize.
So I love this, and here's why. My kids, I have younger ones, love looking for these things. They spent the entire Food and Wine Festival looking for the Remy's and making sure they had it. And we got their prize, which wasn't a pin this time around. It was more of a keychain, but you call it a keychain. The first thing the kids did was put it on their backpack, and it goes to school with them every day. And it's, you know, the souvenir that they had to work to get. So I love this idea and this concept.
Oh, that's great.
It's cool that they have a scavenger hunt for each festival now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it draws families in right now. That's one of the big draws. One of the big things that they came out of D23 was we want to make Epcot more about the family.
Yeah.
And these scavenger hunts help with that.
Completely agree.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And World Showcase is a tough one for the kids. I mean, there's only a couple things that really catch their attention. Everything else is just basically the trudge around the park, you know. But, okay, well, anyway, let's continue on with the list.
Let's go. Number three, we have S'mores, Hot Cocoa, and Christmas Carols at Disney's Wilderness Lodge and Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground.
Let me tell you something. Sign me up for anything that involves S'mores, Hot Cocoa, and being at the Wilderness Lodge, because I love the Wilderness Lodge.
I absolutely. Cozy up to a fire, relax with a cup of hot cider or cocoa. That sounds really cool. I have never done this. Has anybody on the show participated?
I've never done it at the Wilderness Lodge, but I got to think it's got to be, as far as the campground goes, it's got to be similar to their normal campfire type setup.
I would think, yes.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I've done the campground before, and it's at the Chippendale campfire.
And you know what the extra bonus is when you go over there, you have all that beautiful decorations that everybody that stays over at the campgrounds do. Because it's kind of near the front. It's kind of near the front loops near where the lake is. And you see a lot of the bigger campers and buses and such like that all around there. And, man, they just decorate like you wouldn't believe. Like, they bring more stuff than you see around some people's houses at home.
Absolutely. That and Halloween, they really go out with decorations. So we always take a golf cart and go around the loops and see all the Christmas decorations.
Yeah, very cool.
That's cool. So you can just show up and rent a golf cart and go, John? Is that how it works?
Yeah, if you park in the front and then go to the check-in area, you can rent a golf cart. I think it was $100 a day, and then you can have it. And you go around all the different RV loops.
Sure.
And see it all.
So. That's cool. And I know in a previous show, at some point, Charlotte talked about that and how she loves to do that. So that's in the archives of the Disney Nerds podcast somewhere.
Oh, sure. And at the very least, you could still take the boat over from Magic Kingdom or the Contemporary and just, like I said, walk around maybe just one or two loops even. It's really a cool sight either way.
Absolutely.
That's number three on our list. Moving on to number four, Winter Summerland Miniature Golf.
So Winter Summerland Miniature Golf is actually over by Blizzard Beach. And this is joint Santa and their elves at the off-season retreat for two 18-hole adventures. Have any of you done the mini golf down there?
I've never done the Winter Summerland. I did the Fantasy Land one or the Fantasy Garden. I'm not sure exactly.
Fantasia Garden.
Correct. That's it. Which was really fun. But yeah, I've never done this one though.
I have. Yeah, I've done both. And this is something that you can. I love them both. I love them both. One is no different than the other, other than the fact that maybe my heart's a little bit more into the Winter Summerland, because this isn't just a holiday theme. This is something that you can do all year long, and they play holiday music all year long.
Oh, nice. See, that's something awesome to do in, like, July or
that
something
is
kinda like
cool.
That.
Because then you get, I've seen it. I've been to Blizzard Beach, and I've seen it and ridden past it. Most of the holes are themed sort of towards Santa, but he's in his a summer gear. Is that how it works out, Lisa? I don't exactly know.
Yes. Yep.
Cool. I have not done Winter Summerland. I have, like Ed, done Fantasia Garden. And we have some we'll tease some updates on a future show as far as what's going on over by Fantasia Garden and the Swan and Dolphin, which is when I did those, when I was staying at Swan and Dolphin and just walked over. It's kind of convenient.
Oh, that would be cool. That'd be really fun to do.
It's right across the street.
Kind of a really quick thing, and I'm not sure if everybody realizes this, when you do the miniature golf, one of the things you take out of it is, of course, you pay to play, but they give you a golf ball, souvenir golf ball as you leave, which is really fun because the ones we got were all Tinkerbell golf balls.
Cool.
So something definitely to try out, and you get a souvenir to boot.
Very cool.
Very nice. Moving on to number five, exciting new holiday merchandise. And primarily shopping at Disney Springs, as they've added lots of options, including the very popular rose gold Mickey ears. What do you guys think of Disney Springs in general and Disney Springs shopping is what this one's all about.
Can I say something? I think it's really great that they've gone ahead and done so many different things with Disney Springs. That's awesome. I just want to say one thing really quick, though. It seems like nearby to my house we have what they consider, quote-unquote, the biggest mall in the country, whatever. But the stores they have in it are so high-end that I can't see myself really ever shopping in the majority of them. And I kind of think at Disney Springs, you have still that really nice handful of awesome stores that we're going to shop at, but I still think there's just as much or more of stores that are really, really niche that I don't think we're going to shop in.
And you're 100% right. We were there Christmas Eve of last year, and you just saw a stretch of these shops with nobody in it. So
right, and it's for specific things, and it's not really the things you're going to Disney World to do or buy. It's almost as if they're put there because they expect locals to come to Disney Springs to see these stores or shop in these stores. So, yeah, exactly. I don't get it.
And that's what I would say. I would say that I'm certain that they had locals in mind when they decided to put those stores in there.
And you do have to go with the locals' time. As far as Christmas Eve or the holidays, isn't a big time to go to Disney Springs or go shopping. You know, you have to rely on a tourist for that, and you're not going to get the flow in those stores.
Agree. I think, so John, maybe we can tie this, although it's Disney Springs, back to studios, because there's some new, you know, 2017 holiday merchandise, right? There's always the new thing that you can just get during the holidays, 2017. Anything pop out for you that you've seen recently there, John?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of food items, to be exact. Gingerbread popcorn stands out. It's a brand new item.
Cool.
A lot of old school Mickey Mouse Christmas ornaments and Minnie Mouse gummy Christmas lights.
Oh, those gummy Christmas lights sound good. You did take a picture, John, of the partner statue ornament. Is that new this year?
It actually came out last year. It was at the Christmas store in Liberty Square. It returned to the studios. It's brand new over at the studios.
I love some of the cool nutcrackers that they have. Like the one, if I remember right, was a Dapper Dan, and there was some Star Wars one, and that was pretty cool. I think that's a cool addition for merchandise.
And
what kind of store did you find that at?
So some of those were in the Christmas store, back at the Christmas top in Magic Kingdom. There was a Nutcracker that was a Dapper Dan, and one was Princess Leia, and one was Olaf, believe it or not. It was kind of cool.
And this year is Chip and Dale.
Chip and Dale, there you go. Chip and Dale Nutcrackers. Of course, let Chip and Dale eat the nuts. Makes sense.
That's what it does.
All right, there's more on the list from Disney Springs, and we'll get to that as we go down the list here. Number six, halfway through, Jolly Decor, which is really talking about the decorations not just in all four theme parks, which are beautiful, but at the Disney resorts, at Disney Springs, the wreaths, the garlands, everything that you can imagine you can find at Walt Disney World when it comes to decorations. Does anything stick out to you, Lisa, as just an amazing decoration that you got to see?
The Grand Floridian Gingerbread House.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah, no doubt.
And in fact, gingerbread houses get a number all themselves a little later in the list. So we'll come back to that one. Got another one?
I love the tree at Wilderness Lodge.
Right in the middle of the grand ballroom, right? The huge...
Yes, it's huge. And it stretches. If you go up three or four flights and you're still overlooking the lobby, you can look straight into the tree. It goes up quite a ways.
Cool. I like that. Ed, how about you? Any Christmas thing that sticks out?
Well, the first thing that always stuck out for me as far as holidays went was being able to go to a park and having it snow when it's like 75 degrees. I've seen it at the Magic Kingdom. I've seen it at Hollywood Studios. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. The other thing that really stands out is music.
Yeah, sure.
It's not really decor, but I do think it is decor because wherever you go, you're hearing this music, and it's got that definite Disney sprinkle to it or addition to it that you can really hear the quality of it, and it's great, you know, just everywhere you are.
Hey, John, what about you? You're down there all the time. What's the best Christmas decoration or the thing that you like the best?
There's nothing like taking the monorail, getting off at the Grand Floridian, and seeing that Christmas tree. I really think that Christmas tree is the best one on property. And the Grand Reveille from the monorail, or even if you're coming from your car on ground level, and seeing that Christmas tree is the favorite of mine.
Very nice. Very nice. I like you know, the resorts are awesome. There are so many great decorations. But to me, there's nothing like standing on the top level of the train station, looking down Main Street at that huge Christmas tree and all of the decorations, because they do such a phenomenal job of Town Square and Main Street, USA. I can just take that in all day. Absolutely love it. All right. With that, let's move on to number 7, back to Disney Springs. This time the holiday entertainment at Disney Springs, with something new happening around every corner. Ed, I know you had a little bit of experience with some of this entertainment. What's happening over at Disney Springs?
Well, I tell you what, I really can't take any credit for seeing any of the holiday entertainment yet, but I tell you, when I was over there last month, it was pretty cool in that we were there for just a couple hours, and it seemed like wherever we walked, as soon as you got out of range of a live act, whether it was a couple, a duo, guitars, whatever, or somebody on a piano, or just a singer, as soon as you got out of range of that person or that act, you would hear another one starting up. There had to be 6-7 different types of musical acts going on at Disney Springs, and we were only on the theater end. We were only down on the west end. So I got to imagine the way they have it advertised here, it's got to be similar with things going on all over the place. They actually had a rap group going on where they were improvising their lines by people in the crowd. And these two guys are just going back and forth. And they just had a big crowd around them at one point. So I got to imagine they're doing the same type of things with the holiday twist.
That absolutely makes sense with entertainment everywhere. They also have some interesting things going on for the kids, although it might not all be for the kids. And I missed this last year when I was down there. It's the Disney Springs Christmas Tree Trail, which includes 25 holiday trees themed to different Disney things. Anybody have a chance to see that?
I have, and it's this year they really stepped it up with the 25 Christmas trees, and a lot of Disney Instagrammers is the place to go for the holidays. So they have a Tangled tree, they have a Muppet tree, Star Wars tree.
Can you take a second and explain it? What am I looking at, or where is this, or what do you mean?
It's over by the old bus depot by Earl's Sandwich.
Right. By the old fountains and the toy store, things like that?
Absolutely. Okay. And
it's a great use of that space.
It sure is.
Absolutely. And you just walk up and down. There's photo pass photographers during the peak times of the day and night. And it's just different trees. Like the Tangled tree has like a frying pan, has a lantern. And it's all different ornaments themed to that tree.
Oh, very cool. Now, it's kind of a coincidence is they have that statue that's down that end of Disney Springs with the Fab Five and the Christmas trees.
Yeah.
Where you can get that.
When it's always there.
Right. You can get that Christmas card picture any time of year. That's pretty cool. It's like they totally expanded that.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing to do while you're down at the Springs.
So, John, my question is, 25 trees is a lot of trees. How long did it take you to get through that?
It's a good 10 minutes, especially if there's lines to take pictures of trees. We went at the very end of the night, so it wasn't that much of a crowd. But if you spend your time, it's around 10 to 15 minutes.
So it's not that bad. I mean, there's a tree. They're relatively close to each other then?
Yeah, it's almost like the meet and greets where it's a tree and then there's another tree with a photo pass photographer.
Sure.
Do they have a background for each of these trees, or is it just a
I know Tangle behind it? It's mostly just the words of what the tree is, so it's like Tangled in the background or the Muppets.
Cool.
So,
oh, Muppets tree. It's just like walking through a store, you know, you're just going to kind of browse through it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's two sections to get in, like by Earl's Sandwich and then by the back of the Christmas store and Wolfgang Puck. It's the other way you can get in if it's too many people on the other side.
That's cool. I also see, in addition to the Christmas tree trail, that Stitch has a Hollywood scavenger hunt, a holiday scavenger hunt happening down there, too, which looks interesting. It's free. Pick up your stickers in your map. John, have you seen that or done anything with the Stitch scavenger hunt?
No, I have not seen that. So, but it's cool. It's taking a page out of Epcot, obviously.
Sure. And it keeps the kids busy while mom and dad shop, which is probably why there's no cost for that one.
Absolutely.
There's probably no prize at the end either.
Maybe not. I'm not sure. It doesn't say here. Which, by the way, DisneySprings.com. We've talked about that website before on the show. That is the official website of Disney Springs, and it is not part of WaltDisneyWorld.com. But it's interesting to see all of the cool stuff you can find and schedules for events and things that we're talking about here. So that's cool. All right, number 8 on the list, Tasty Treats. Taste the newest flurry of fun confections at Disney's Hollywood Studios. John, they talk here about red velvet whoopie pies, Olaf cake pops, cranberry cobbler, and some sweets that will have you smiling from ear to ear. What's going on food-wise over at Hollywood Studios?
They are available over at the Sunset Shop, the Villain candy shop.
Ah, the old Villain in Vogue thing.
Exactly. But
old
the cool
Villain
thing,
in Vogue, because it's not that anymore, right?
No. But going back to my Disney experience with the food order, if you do the order of food through it, it will come up with those holiday treats at sit-down restaurants, at counter service like ABC, Backlot Express, which is not available if somebody orders with money and goes through the regular line.
Okay, so let me make sure I understood what you said. These holiday treats are available with the mobile app at counter service locations, but they're not on the menus.
Correct. So if a person just went up and ordered at the cashier, they would have no idea that they served it. Because you get a, I don't know if you guys had it when you guys were down here last time, but you get a notification from the app saying, welcome to ABC, you can use mobile ordering here. Well, they send you another notification saying, use mobile ordering and get a special menu. And then when you look at the menu, it's all the holiday treats.
So now, I would imagine they would advertise the heck out of that so that they would have them get into the app so they would be all ready for it. Why are they? That sounds really odd.
Yeah, it happened Saturday, and it said the notification, use mobile ordering app to access a special menu. So I clicked on it, and you can see the menu. The main courses are the same. The only things that are different is the desserts, which is the holiday desserts.
Maybe because it's new, so they don't have the menu in the restaurants yet, and they're doing it that way just to start selling it.
Those menus are all screens. They just got to change the image.
Or somebody hasn't gotten that software. Someone hasn't put.
Yeah. Just because it's interesting, though. So that's an inside trick there. If you're listening to the show and you're going to be there, get out the mobile app and you can get your Olaf cake pop. Everybody else will go, what's that? How do I get that thing?
Right.
I love
it. But we'll be looking for the next update at Hollywood Studios to see if that changes, though. That'll be something to check out next time.
You know what? Tuesday, I bet there'll be some updates. Right, John?
Absolutely.
Cool. Love it. All right, let's move on. Number 9, the Candlelight Processional at Epcot, part of the Festival of Holidays and a tradition that goes all the way back to Disneyland and Walt Disney himself. Candlelight Processional.
Yep, exceptional. Love it. Incredible. Really good.
I don't know that there's much more I can add. I mean, Candlelight Processional, if you have not done it, it is a must-do at least once. There are VIP packages available and dining packages. Mm-hmm. My advice would be, as you're shopping for those dining packages, the different restaurants are different prices for the same package. So what you pay at Le Cellier is a lot more than what you pay at Nine Dragons, and there's everything in between.
And it's the same
section. I would look into that. And it's the same section as far as seating goes?
Right.
Absolutely.
Advice, real quick, don't sit in the first three rows. If you have the opportunity to sit up that close, it's almost a waste because you really cannot see the entire stage. And the processional is as much as a visual experience as it is an audio experience. So you want to be able to see everything up there. So just FYI, a little bit tip there.
Yeah, I completely agree with this. This is at the American Garden Theater, if you're not aware, and it takes up every inch of the stage, I would pretty much say, with a 50-piece orchestra.
Sure, and they have guest choruses that come in that do the singing with them also. And who's the star of the show?
Yeah, lots of them this year. Returning favorites like Kurt Russell and newcomers like Pat Sajak. There's just people everywhere.
Sure, I'm going Tuesday. To see Warwick Davis. Yeah, Warwick Davis.
Oh, nice.
Oh, great.
Awesome.
Yeah, so as long as there's a Star Wars theme, I'll go to Epcot.
Sure. Who else have you guys seen? Anybody stick out?
I have seen Neil Patrick Harris, which stuck out.
Right.
And Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh,
are the
cool.
two that the family, and then other times it's I'm blanking on his name, and my wife would kill me for it. The gentleman that used to do the pre-show for Mission Space,
Gary Sinise.
Yes, I saw him too.
Oh yeah, that
Thank
was
you.
Fun.
And I've seen the gentleman that did Reading Rainbow.
Oh, LeVar Burton.
Yes. Cool. I saw LeVar Burton.
Nice.
Cool.
I've seen Brian Dennehy, and which was pretty good. And I saw the dude from Access Hollywood. I can't remember his name, though. He was okay. I'll think of his name before we end the show.
If you think of it, let us know. Candlelight Processional, definitely a must-do. If you've not done Epcot during the holidays, look into those packages. Or, you know, there's standby lines, but the show happens three times a night. Those standby lines can get really long, especially the closer to Christmas that you get.
Oh, sure. And don't forget, it's Epcot, and you're walking through the pathways, and you can see the you can see the theater. I mean, you don't have to have a seat to really enjoy the show.
Oh, yeah. You can hang out by one of those holiday booths at the top and get your hot cocoa and whatever the caramel thing you were talking about earlier, Ed.
Oh, sure.
And watch it from there.
The best place to hang out are by the Nerds Planners. Just go over there, get yourself a drink, have a seat on the brick planners, yeah. and enjoy the show.
The Nerd Planners are very close to the signage for the attraction, and you can see the stage.
I will say, when we went a couple years ago, the Candlelight Processional was the thing I was least looking forward to. And when I left Walt Disney World, it was probably the best thing I had seen.
Yeah, isn't that always the way? That's great.
You know what I'll add to that? When I took my parents a few years ago, it was one of the favorite things that they sat through. And they told me it was absolutely incredible, and they did not expect anything like what it was, and it just blew them away. So that's good, too.
Nice.
All right, number 10. Lisa, I'll let you go with this one. Gingerbread houses.
Gingerbread houses. So this is obviously right up my alley, because when I think of the resorts and decorating the resorts for the holidays, I, of course, think of the life-size holiday gingerbread house, which I had known about before I walked through the door, which, by the way, doesn't matter what door you walk in. Once you walk in, you can smell it.
Oh, yeah. No,
this is a gingerbread house specifically at
the Grand Floridian Resort and Spa.
Mm-hmm.
And Spa. One of the things that's pretty cool about the Grand Floridian gingerbread house in particular is that it's a shop. It's legitimately a shop. You can buy things out of it. I bought hot chocolate at the gingerbread house.
They sell shingles all the entire time the house is there. They'll sell shingles of gingerbread. It's nice. It's really awesome. We were lucky enough to be there one time. And actually, the house itself, if you know the lobby of the Grand Floridian, it's kind of built on that first floor underneath where the band plays. So it's kind of as far away from the front desk as you can get. So it's nice over there. It's kind of like by itself. And we were lucky enough to see them building it one time. So they had the cherry picker out there. They were putting the shingles on the roof, and they had the head chefs all running around and all the workers, like, with the big trays of the shingles and things like that. It was really, really fun experience watching it go up.
See, that's great. And that's not the only edible creation at a Walt Disney World resort. There was also a giant spinning carousel over at the Beach Club, and there's
Which
a miniature
awesome.
Train. There's a miniature train that takes center stage over at the Yacht Club as well. But I think one of the things that makes people stop in their tracks, if you have not gone over to the Contemporary Resort, there's an 18-foot tall Cinderella castle made out of gingerbread blocks, fondant, and modeling chocolate.
That's kind of
wow.
cool. Have you seen this? You did.
Yes.
It's new this year, and I know a second to Johnny Hollywood. It's Johnny Contemporary Resort, by the way. So,
for many reasons,
you have seen this, right? Where is this?
This is actually on the fourth level, but they moved it from last year near the monorails. Now it's to by the windows, like that walkway where you go to Bay Lake on the fourth level.
Okay,
it's right in the front where Fantasia Market is. That little small
store. Is the giant reef still on that big window over there?
No, it hasn't been for the last 2 years.
Yeah, okay. All right, I missed that. See, I haven't been down there.
Yeah, but the Christmas tree is still out front. And on the second level, which is the convention center, there's a lot of Christmas wreaths and trees as well.
That's great. With talk of the holiday village with the miniature train over at the Yacht Club, I am reminded of the miniature train set over in Epcot, and I definitely have to bring that up. Because
sure.
If you stop and look at the miniature train set, and we're talking about over in Germany, if you look real closely, that whole miniature train set right now is decorated for Christmas.
That is cool. That's another Epcot little thing that seems to follow the festivals and get decorated, and it's absolutely incredible. I love that train set. It's a must-stop for my kids who just will. And actually, the last time we were there for the Food and Wine Festival, it appeared to be in much better working condition than it had been in previous years. They really gave it some attention recently.
They did. When we stopped and saw it for Food and Wine, I thought the same thing, Sam.
Yep.
One of the things that I love about it is that it is decorated. When we were there for the International Festival of the Arts, the banners for International Festival of the Arts were up in the actual town square there. I thought it was
cool.
I always love that miniature train set, and it's decorated for the holidays right now as we speak.
Awesome. Definitely something to stop by and see. Gingerbread House is one of the many reasons to hit the resorts around Walt Disney World during the holidays. Number 11, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party at the Magic Kingdom, featuring the Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade, Frozen Holiday Wish Castle Lighting Ceremony, Mickey's Merriest Celebration Stage Show, and I believe it's still Holiday Wishes, which may be one of the last times we'll get to see any wishes. But along those lines, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. Who wants to start with this one?
I've never done, so go for it.
Okay. Lisa?
Oh, this was the very first party that we did, what I would say, the right way. Although there's no wrong way to do anything at Walt Disney
World.
That's
what I was thinking, so what's your right way?
We had done the Halloween party twice before we did the Christmas party, and we enjoyed attractions and not necessarily the party items. And when we went down for the Very Merry Christmas Party, we just did party-specific things. The dance party. We went over the and I danced with characters. We enjoyed the specialty treats, the hot cocoa, the cookies.
Snickerdoodles, right?
Oh, yeah. They were great. And then we watched the show in front of the castle. Then we watched the Holiday Wishes fireworks, and then I sat on Main Street because they did two different parades, so we waited for the second parade.
Always a good
and
idea.
We sat on we sat on Main Street for an hour, and Main Street, I shed tears to sit on Main Street. It was all decorated, and for the parade to come down, to watch the toy soldiers come down, and for it to be snowing on Main Street, to have that experience was probably one of the most magical things I had experienced at Walt Disney World.
The soldiers during that parade are absolutely a highlight, I think, of that entire event.
Mm-hmm.
The marching, the sounds they make in unison, playing the trumpets that they're carrying around, I just think it's absolutely incredible and a great part of Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
And some new changes this year with House Notes is starting at 6 o'clock, regular day guests will not be able to ride the rides or eat. They'll only be able to shop. So it really clears the park out.
And
with
used
the Frozen Holiday
Wish,
it's only once a night this year compared to twice last year.
Okay, so John, that used to be the party itself, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, is a hard ticketed event, which means you have to buy a ticket for this party. That ticket allows you to gain access to the Magic Kingdom at 4 p.m. on the day of the party, So those of you planning a longer trip, or maybe you don't have enough days on your pass, one of the things that we've done is you hit all the resorts during the day, and at 4 o'clock you head over to the Magic Kingdom, and you have access to the party through the rest of the night, which is kind of cool. John, it used to be 7 o'clock when the regular day guest had to leave, so that's moved up a little bit. How has attendance been? What have you noticed? Have you been?
You can still linger around the park until 7, but if you go to a attraction, they will check a wristband starting at 6.
So it's still wristbands they're checking.
Correct. So they will. You can still shop on Main Street, but if you're trying an attraction around 6, people, you can't get in, obviously. So a lot of regular day guests have been ushered out around 6.
Got it.
That's interesting. I wonder if they increased the amount of tickets that they sell.
Well, I know they've been selling out a lot more than the Halloween party did this year.
Got it.
So I wonder if that's what made them move that time back.
Yeah, I'm sure this is going to happen next year as well at the Halloween party, where you have regular day guests coming, leaving the park even earlier due to not being able to ride rides.
Sure, they've always had the people complaining about that, though, too. Is they pay for the event, and they have people in it that didn't pay for the event still till 7 o'clock. And even if they tell them they have to leave at 7, you don't get people out till like 8, 8:30, really.
Right. Yeah, if you do a ride at 6:55 and it's a 30-minute wait, or you just order food at 6:50 and take your time eating, you can catch that 8:15 parade. And they push back show times as well. The first parade is at 9:15, the fireworks at in the 10 o'clock hour, and then the second parade's in the 11 o'clock hour as well.
That's late for that second parade. That's definitely late. Okay. Something that I noticed just looking at the calendar here, the last Very Merry Christmas Party goes up until December 22nd is the last one. And it looks like it's primarily Monday. Well, it's certain days of the week. You can check the calendar for that. But the reason I mentioned it goes through the 22nd, it used to be, and it still is, that you can watch Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade the week of Christmas without a hard ticket for the Christmas party. There is no Christmas party the week of Christmas and into New Year's, and they do run that parade. So it's not like you have to get this ticket to watch that parade, unlike the Halloween party, where if you want to see Mickey's Not-So-Scary Parade, boo to you, you have to have a ticket to do it. It looks to me like they pushed it a little further, and not 2 weeks worth of free, not free, but worth of the parade, but just one, which is a little bit interesting to me. All right, moving on. Number 12. How could you not want to meet Santa Claus? So meeting Santa Claus is absolutely one of the things on the list. Meet Father Christmas himself, and there are multiple places where you can meet Santa. He makes his way around quite frequently down there. One of those is at Disney Springs.
Now, something stands out right away is that they don't show him being at Epcot at all the different countries. Do we still do that over there? Where we have all the different countries' version of Santa Claus?
So, yes, we still have the Santa Clauses at Epcot. They are still the entertainment around the world. They're not necessarily the Santa Claus, though. For example, over in China, they moved it to the New Year's Dragon a little while ago. The closest representations you get to Santa at Epcot are in America, Santa and Mrs. Claus. And in the United Kingdom, Father Christmas is pretty close to our Santa in maybe a little bluer of an outfit. But you can see him in Epcot, too.
So we were able to go see Santa at Disney Springs when we were down a couple years ago. The line wasn't very long, so we stood in line, got our picture taken with him. I was a grown adult sitting on Santa's lap telling him what I wanted for Christmas, and I had no shame about it.
Where was this in Disney Springs?
That's a great question. I want to say back then it was by, and it was before the big refurb at Disney Springs, so it was probably by World of Disney, I believe, was where it was.
Yeah, and there was kind of a pop-up thing that they built. It was like a little temporary thing?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. It wasn't a permanent spot. I know Santa's also over at Hollywood Studios. John, where's he over there?
He's at the Carthay Circle, which is the store next to the Beauty and the Beast Theater. And my biggest tip for you is, again, Fantasmic's at 8:30, which the park closes at 8. Santa will meet guests until 9 o'clock.
Oh, very interesting.
That's great advice.
Yeah,
it always thins out at that time anyway. Like, you know, as it starts to even get close to closing, it starts thinning out for a lot of that stuff. Nice.
Absolutely. There's a mad dash for Fantasmic after Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, obviously, and then it's pretty dead on that street.
Cool.
Yeah, I would expect that to be the case. That's cool. Is Santa anywhere else? That might be it. So that's 12 things to do or must-dos. I'm going to add number 13. Why? Well, because I can. Because I can. So number 13 for me is Santa's favorite resort, which is the Swan and Dolphin. And I mention this because there's a couple of really cool things over at the Swan and Dolphin to check out. Not only did the Dolphin recently go through a refurbishment of the entire lobby, it's completely new, but over at the Swan, you are going to find the world's largest chocolate Santa sculpture.
Wow.
Wow.
How big is it?
It is, okay, so santasfavoriteresort.com, I'll put a link in the show notes for this. It's almost 3 million calories is what they list here as I look at the ingredients. So think about that for a second.
Oh, piece of cake. No problem.
Yeah, piece of cake.
But my daily intake. I got it.
It took them 300 hours to build this thing, 880 pounds of dark chocolate, 130 pounds of milk chocolate, 150 pounds of white chocolate, 120 pounds of cocoa butter. Went into this Santa sculpture. It's Santa Claus. It's a tree. It's a fireplace. 100% chocolate and 100% edible. This is also Santa's favorite resort in that Santa loves to hang out on the breezeway between the Swan and the Dolphin, right where you get off of the boats, if you're familiar with the boats. He hangs out there in a photo opportunity in his Bermuda shorts and his Hawaiian shirt, and he loves to hang out after the holiday when things are over and he can take a little break.
Oh, that's cool. So, like, into January?
Not necessarily into January, but he's there and the calendar's out on the calendar is out there at santasfavoriteresort.com. But it's cool that he hangs out there in his Bermuda shorts and his Hawaiian shirt. Absolutely love that. There's also some coloring activities for kids and things going on. But it's another resort. If you're walking from the boardwalk and the yacht club, you can sort of swing by that direction, say hi to Santa, and go check out the world's largest chocolate Santa.
Awesome. Sounds really cool.
So, man, did we talk about a lot of things. And I feel like we just scratched the surface here, Ed.
Yeah, I know. There's always something new to do holiday-wise down at Disney World. So it's always good to kind of recheck this list every year. Maybe even check it twice.
boom, boom.
And if you guys want to continue this conversation about your favorite holiday must-dos down at Walt Disney World, come join us this Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Walt Disney World time as we continue on discussing these great holiday must-dos down at Walt Disney World.
I encourage everybody to check out my blog, What's New at the Studios This Week, at thedisneynerds.com. It's a lot of new stuff each week, and excited to take the journey with you guys to Toy Story and to Batu.
Want to get in touch with any of us? We're going to make it really easy. Remember, the blogs are at thedisneynerdspodcast.com. You can send questions to questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com. You can find Ed there, Sam, Lisa, and John at thedisneynerdspodcast.com. We look forward to talking to you and seeing you and continuing this conversation. We love doing it, and we do it for you. Lisa, we will see you Tuesday night. Kongaloosh.
So long, everybody.
May the Force be with you.
Bye-bye.
Simple rule that's compulsory. mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your